B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics go for the sweep tonight when they play in Brooklyn. Of course, all the coverage right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub begins at 6:30. Grandy and Max, the call at 7 p.m. Ben Simmons will not play in this game. At the NBA playoffs, Bucks, 119-95 winners over the Bulls. They're up 3-1. Denver, they held off elimination with a 126-121 over Golden State. Heat all over the Hawks, 110-86. And New Orleans even the series with the Suns with a 118-103 win. Bruins won two key games over the weekend. Beat the Rangers on Saturday and won in Montreal last night 5-3. Eric Halla scored two goals, including a penalty shot. Patrice Bergeron, two goals. Jeremy Swayman, 23 saves. Bees, three games remaining. They'll play Florida Panthers on Tuesday night. And the Red Sox, they're struggling. 5-2 loss yesterday, 2-4 their last six. They're in Toronto tonight. Nathan Eovaldi will get the start. Headlines brought to you by 128 Plumbing. Heating, cooling, and electric. They've teamed up with Hall of Fame defenseman Ray Bourque to defend the future of trades, creating up to $25,000 in scholarships for future trade workers. Get details at call128.com. I'm Joe Murray. Next update in 30 minutes.
This is Charlie McAvoy.
Got drilled by McAvoy, who stepped up and leveled him.
On your home for Bruins hockey, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yo. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch for free. You can watch us for free on your Twitch app or twitch.tv. As for Twitter, I've been hacked. But it seems like a good business. So, I mean, if you want to support them, I mean, they seem like good people.
The best was when Dan Roach's Twitter account got hacked. And it was porn, like every 5 minutes there was a new post.
Well, the thing that would suck if that was the case with me is that there would be a contingent of people that would never believe that I was hacked. Like, even true. like they would just never believe it.
Yeah.
Even though I was at my daughter's softball game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, there would be people that were like, oh, Fred just got annihilated and started putting naked pictures up. And then I would say, no, I was at my daughter's softball game. Like, it was at Newton South, I swear to God.
It wouldn't matter time of day. It wouldn't matter. You know, it could be 11 in the morning. People would still, I would agree.
They're just Fred's on Ambien. And,
that's right.
Even though I never put a porn up when I was on Ambien, but what are you going to do? All right, so I traveled, right? And so when I flew down to Savannah, masks were required. Then the government lifted the mandate. And when I flew back, I do believe my son was the only one that was wearing a mask. And he said that he does not like the smell of planes. And so he prefers the mask. And it was a cloth mask that didn't do anything anyway. So I said, God bless you if you want to wear the mask. And then he ended up pulling it down anyway. So, by the way, you're never getting a mask back on people. Never, ever. It's not happening. Because it was a flight to Boston, too. So you figure that there would be a bunch of maybe some fussy people that didn't like the whole thing. I was paying attention, not a mask to be found. But there is still a problem with crowds. And we have a draft expert coming up, the guy who wrote The Beast. We have Cedric Maxwell coming up. We will talk incessantly about the Celtics, but I have to address another sport. Are you familiar with the game Putt-Putt?
Yes. Yes.
Right. So are you familiar with, you don't have kids, Joe, but Mike and...
played two rounds myself John. Last week, yes.
You're familiar with having to go play putt-putt?
I mean, I'm a golf pro, man. I grew up in McGolf and Denham.
See, there you go. Like,
very nice course, by the way.
We played two golf. We played Pirates Cove, which was a Pirates theme.
Very nice.
And then we played Legends Golf, which was a Christian theme.
Oh, nice.
At every hole, they had scripture.
Isn't that nice? You don't see that very many places.
To which my son would read aloud, and him and my daughter would make fun of it loudly, and I was just like, at first I thought it was funny, And then I was like, there's people here that are going to be like, like, I'm just, like, you're going to hell. Like, because they were so delighted by it.
Hold on. I just have to know, when you get to each hole, is the scripture like right in front of you? I mean, is it above the hole? You have to, how do they present it?
It is on a wooden pole that is tilted. And then there's a passage of scripture that is covered with plastic. And then at one point, my daughter started nailing it with her putter. And I said, something bad's going to happen. You can't
do that. Is the hole, like, themed for the scripture?
No.
Oh, it's okay.
It is a neutral course.
I see.
Like windmills and everything.
Yeah, no windmills, but there was, there's water hazards on every hole.
Could you walk on them?
All right. I was going to go there.
Only if you're truly blessed. But there is
the sea's part and the ball rolls right through.
But when we played at Pirates Cove, there were people that were not respecting the rule. There seems to be a lawlessness to putt-putt that is going on, and that there was a family of eight.
Oh man.
That was playing together.
That's not right.
Now, there is no posted signage that, like at a normal golf course, there was, it took me 2 hours to play 18 holes of putt-putt. Because at that point, and the whole time my kids are fighting. They're fighting, the entire time.
Sure.
But my daughter's is quitting on holes and everything else. But for some reason, we stuck with it. We'd gotten that far. But there was a family of eight, a grandmother through little kids. And they were like delighted with themselves. They saw no problem in what they were doing. That they and at one point, I saw, I was wondering what was going on, and I saw that ahead of them was freedom. Ahead of them were empty holes as far as the eye could
see. Are they one group ahead of you, or is it like two or three groups ahead?
They were four groups ahead of me.
Okay.
They were four groups ahead of me, but we were all jammed up. So I didn't see them until the end, and there's like a great, and they're taking pictures on every hole. When are you looking at those pictures? When are you looking? This is so special to you. This. I understand you're on vacation. You take a picture. Hey, look, we're having put it on Facebook. Look at how fun we are. You're taking a picture on every hole. They're posing like the kids are like posing, like on a. I just got a message that my son's got diarrhea.
Thanks for sharing that, Fred.
Putt putt.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Milo. That seems bad.
Yeah, I should. Probably
that's
have
awful.
Said, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Probably not. No.
But it just it flashed. I thought it was my wife, like going, like, "Oh yeah, that was true."
But let us keep us posted, will you?
But the lawlessness of it, and then the people were sitting like on rocks and like posing, like the kids, they were posing their kids, and I'm thinking, what is your normal life like that this adventure to Pirates Cove putt putt is something that has to be documented in this degree? Jesus, I mean, what a horrible existence. Are you going to jail tomorrow? Like, what's going on with your life?
Yeah. This sounds like they all showed up in the same van and they all go back to the compound after.
Yeah, this was like the day out that they finally got to do something. And shame on Pirates Cove for giving them all putters at the same time. And then they had to think if you got a hole in one, you won something, which was very exciting to my children, but it was free nachos at a restaurant.
Okay.
But at a restaurant.
Could be like a wooden cross or something.
We used to have that one hole.
That was the other one.
If you got a hole in one, you won like $250. You ever had that one?
No. What was that? Usually you have that, you get to the end of the golf course, and I saw it last week, it's like that Plinko thing where you put the ball on top, and if you get it in the hole at the bottom, then you get the free game.
Yes.
That's normal.
We got a free game, but it was at Pirates Cove, which I'll never return to again. If you got a hole in one, you got a free game.
Okay.
Just on any hole, though.
All right.
Because then they figure if you got one free game, you got to pay for everyone else. So, like, hey, you want to go another round if you got another, like, 5 hours.
Situation like that, though, Fred, you know, you roll up to the miniature golf course and there's one person working there and he's or she is, like, 18. That's it. The person who you pay is the only guy or woman
who's going to look out for something.
Well, I
like
knew something.
And an 18-year-old's not going to go break up a group of eight.
Well, at Legendary Golf, I knew something was remiss because the woman was very, very gregarious. She was older and very gregarious, so I was not surprised when I saw scripture on the course. Mm. It seems like there was some kind of, they were trying to pull you in. They were trying to get you.
Did the 10th hole have commandments on it?
Not to my knowledge, but my I'm sure my son read it, and when my kids were making fun of it, pissed everyone off.
Nice.
And referencing like the devil and things like of that nature while they were doing it. But there has to be rules in society, and that has to be one of them.
So none of the holes were themed after, besides the scripture at each one?
No, it was just completely random. It was just, yeah, but there was 18 things of scripture, and like, you know, none of it makes any sense to me. So, you know, whatever he was reading, it just seemed random. Mm-hmm. It was all revelations, though. It was
they stuck to certain chapter and verse. Okay.
It was all revelations. It was all like the real bad stuff. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. No, I'm just kidding. It was all the incest and everything. It was, it had all
Cain
that
and Abel
for it.
And all, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had, it was, no, they seemed to be random scripture.
So you didn't learn anything. Those are just to be bypassed. Other than, of course, Zoe whacking the thing with the mallet, with the putter, though.
Well, there were two guys ahead of us that were playing with their kids that were dressed like they were playing golf, and you could tell that they were like, the guy kept swearing when he missed.
Oh, jeez.
So I think that if you were that into putt-putt, that the biblical messages could get away from you. Maybe you didn't see him. But
he got upset?
Oh, yeah, the guy, like, they were dressed like, it was a guy, his father, and, like, the guy's kids. Two daughters, and like you could tell that they were like the guy brought his own putter.
What? Come on.
Because I figured that the guy had been playing golf and had his bag in his car and just took his putter and was like, I'm going to play with my own putter.
See, to me, this is a bigger story than the group of eight. That you actually had a guy there who took it that seriously.
Well, when you have a group of eight, though, it might not be reflecting as horrendously unfair as it was.
No, 2 hours to play 18 holes is a bit much.
Or
but
also that you just don't have any knowledge. Like, you're just sitting there posing and you're taking all these pictures. I don't understand. Again, when are you going to look at these pictures? They're you're never going to look at them again. You remember the time in Hilton Head when we played mini golf? Well, you don't? Well, I have 150 pictures to remind you. Like, this is the greatest thing we've ever done. And I played twice in a week. But you know why you're doing it is you're doing it to kill time. You're doing it for the children. You're not doing it as, you know, this is, you know, if you go, like, you didn't go to, like, the pyramids or something where you're like, this once in a lifetime thing and here I am. Even Disney World, I get it. Maybe it's the only time you're ever going to go to Disney World and you want to capture all these things. This is just off some road in Hilton Head. Play putt-putt anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, Pirate Cove is a chain.
Oh, yeah.
They're all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Down the Cape, dude. They're all over the place.
No, they're everywhere. Yeah,
Pirate Cove, mm-hmm. The chain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's next to Captain Parker's. And
some guy has cornered the market and got very rich.
Great chowder.
I'll tell you.
How does a discussion on putt-putt come back to food for you? How is that possible?
Captain Parker's has a...
But that's not even
Pirate's
at the putt-putt.
Cove next to it. They get a chowder after.
Now, is it 2 hours of pirate music playing?
No, they do have a pirate museum, though, behind Captain Parker's.
Yes, and it's all of the raping and pillaging. It's a good family thing.
Joe goes right to the restaurant.
I know. But
right next to it.
I mean, when I play putt-putt, I want the damn ice cream after, too.
Nothing to do with clam chowder, though.
Are they selling the clam chowder at the putt-putt place?
No, it's the restaurant next to it. That's my point.
I was going
to
say that.
Nothing to do with it.
No, but I was going to say that's very ballsy to go for the clam chowder
at the putt-putt. That's true.
At the putt-putt.
You do that you're taking your life in your own hands.
No.
That's true.
You're taking your life in your own hands. And by the way, like, wearing jeans when it's 80. What are you doing? Wearing jeans and taking pictures. That's all you're doing. Whoa. Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, great story, guys. I think I was actually part of that story in the 90s. It wasn't a full team of eight, but six of us were out there at Pirates Cove in Maine. And I was pretty oblivious to it. My father would have been the guy who said, well, we paid for tickets. We're going to take our sweet time. So probably about an hour or so into there, taking pictures. The whole thing you guys are saying, I'm teaching a kid how to mini golf. He takes a full backswing, cracks me right in the nose, breaks my nose. And I ended up getting a token that was like a pirate coin for a free game and a T-shirt. So,
oh, to clean the blood.
Yes,
well, absolutely. And it's a lot to the putt-putt guy to give you a free game because that's, you know, money out of their pocket.
I've been to that place the guy was talking about. I think that's Old Orchard Beach.
Old Orchard Beach.
Yes.
There's got to be more than one putt-putt place around there. All right.
I actually just got pictures of somebody who was at Pirates Cove and then went to Captain Parker's next
Of course day. You did.
And sent me the actual Sorry. Photos.
The Joe Show so represent.
Friend, this happens. I now believe you.
They're listening.
There is something about putt-putt that is just makes people take pictures. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's such a big deal. It's $10. All right. We'll be back, and we'll talk about your Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torture and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah,
how's Milo? How's he doing?
I don't know.
You doing okay?
Not great. Not great. So there you go. Know the rules of the putt-putt if you're going to do that. The Celtics play this evening. We're going to talk to Cedric Maxwell at 9 o'clock. So many things happening. If you don't know, Ben Simmons is not going to play tonight. Apparently, he has been healthy for 10 days, but as of last night, the back flared up again, magically. He'd been pain-free. He'd been practicing for 10 days, and then the back flared up. So you have quite a situation there if you're the owner in Brooklyn, is you have a coach who can make no adjustments. You have a one of your star players who's losing it and was not available for half the season and now is complaining about the cohesiveness of the team.
You have three stars, one of which is playing his ass off and doing anything he can, and then you have two head cases, one who's playing but was only available for half the season and one who's not playing and doesn't seem to want to. So congratulations.
And I contend that if you did it like thorough MRI of most NBA players that are still playing right now, that they could find something to justify you not playing. Things like a swollen disc and things like that. What about
the lawsuit with Philadelphia?
Well, wouldn't this help Philadelphia though if he's not playing? I mean, if he came and played, because isn't the whole thing in Philadelphia that he could have played?
Yes.
I don't know. Just spitballing, man.
He's not helping his own cause by doing this, and it's either him saying, "Oh, I can't do this." Or the team covering up for him, which is enabling him to do more of this crap.
Well, Steve Nash never thought it was going to happen. He goes, "Oh, that's news to me." When they said he was going to,
then why not? Then why not just list him as out for the series? Why not before the series start say it's unfair to throw after not playing all season? It's unfair to have Ben come in and play in the playoffs, where everything is ramped up a little bit. I mean, you're essentially throwing, this is what he could have said, you're essentially throwing Simmons out of a moving car onto a highway and telling him to run real fast.
We can't do that. He's an extremely talented individual. He has a lot to give this team, but it won't be this year. And then everything would have been solved. No more questions. You wouldn't have put the onus on Simmons at all, and you would have had him ready to go for next year, in theory, if he ever plays again.
Yes.
Can I ask you guys, do you think there's any negatives to this series or for the Celtics? Like this should be a ball wash today for the Celtics.
Yes. How
great they're playing. But is there any negative that you have? And I guess I'll throw out one. It's not a take. It's just, in the end, do you think it's easy to say that they beat a 7 seed? And I know this is a different type of 7 seed. This is two of the better players that were on the planet. And if they could have played better and not have been a 7 seed.
Well, if they're my whole thing is if the way they've been playing since January is I said they should, it would be a huge disappointment if they lost the series. And I think if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals, that it's a disappointment. It doesn't mean it's a failure, but it's a disappointment. I mean, you don't have to talk in absolutes. I mean, because it's just an opinion. You know, they don't, like, you know, give you some, like, stone that you have to wear around your neck for the offseason because you lost. But I'm not, Milwaukee, I don't know, Middleton's situation. I don't know when he's.
If you have seen the way Milwaukee has played in Chicago in those last two games, they were thoroughly dominant. I mean, I know Chicago, and that's the team we all wanted the Celtics to play in the first round because they aren't very good. But Milwaukee's down one of their two best players, an all-star and a guy on the U.S. Olympic basketball team. I mean, this guy's a great player. And Milwaukee hasn't missed him. I mean, they're winning games by 20 points without him.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, like, Grayson Allen's been great off the bench. But
and then he'll do something dumb.
Getting back to your point, though, Joe, this series, in my opinion, has been much more about how the Celtics have taken two of the best players out of the planet out of the game.
Right.
It's amazing.
And they won game one in, you know, dramatic fashion, showing that they could do that.
Sure.
I mean, these all haven't been like cakewalks.
You beat two great players on a buzzer beater by your great player, and you make Kevin Durant look ordinary, which I didn't think was possible.
Well, no one thought was possible. And again, I'll tell you what people in Brooklyn are saying is that they've never not only seen him play this way, they've never heard him not have any answers. Apparently, like when, you know, on Durant's teams, like people who've covered him their whole career, Durant, even in a loss, will go, all right, well, this is the situation and this is what we have to do. And that, and this is the first time they've ever heard him not just he doesn't know. He doesn't know what the solution is.
If Kyrie had played the whole season, I remember we had Chris Forsberg on last week, Friday, 2 weeks ago, and I asked him, if Kyrie Irving plays the whole season, is Brooklyn a 7 seed? And he tried to tell me yes, and I completely disagree with him.
I don't think so. Like, Joe Harris was a big loss
for
them.
But even without Joe Harris, those two guys, if you're telling me that you have swept Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in a playoff series, I would have said you're nuts. Brooklyn is much better than a 7 seed. This is a completely impressive win.
They are, but look at the rest of the East. Okay, so Miami is everyone's favorite to win the East. If you listen nationally, Milwaukee's the defending champion, and look at the way the Sixers have played. So the East is in the Celtics have played better than any of them. So they're not necessarily, I mean, would they be, they could have been the 6th seed. They could have been maybe the 5th seed. There's no guarantee. I mean, the way the Celtics are playing better than anybody in basketball. And they have been now for a long time. But, I think if they lose to Milwaukee the way that they're playing, that it's a disappointment.
And again,
a big disappointment.
And again, my whole thing was there's really nothing to be negative about. It's just, will there be people who say, well, they beat a 7 seed?
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think so.
Well, my answer to that would be, well, so what? Now beat, that doesn't change anything. So you beat a 7 seed. Even if you think it was easy and it was something that was preordained, then you still got to go play Milwaukee, and you still got to do that. Now, if you lose to Milwaukee, then in retrospect, you could go, well, look at who you beat. You beat Brooklyn. But I don't know, man. The way they've played over the last four months is hard to take anything away from.
And I'll just give them credit. The one thing that most teams, when they play at home and then go to another city, their role players don't play as well. And what Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams, your boy, what he's doing defensively, I mean, I just would never thought that these guys would transition on the road.
You were talking about Grant Williams. Did you hear Grant Williams go on and on about a card game they play on the team playing?
Yes, I did. He's the biggest dork in the world.
The big news that we all got from yesterday was that there is a massive game of Uno that goes on the plane.
Can we get that audio?
I think I have it. Hang on. I'll find it.
Can we get the audio of Grant Williams talking about how lovely Uno is? I want you to send it to Mike, because I want Mike to put it in so I can stop it.
He's such a dork, yet he can defend Kevin Durant.
Mike, it's in News Boss.
I just don't understand it.
I got it. It's in News Boss.
Okay, have Mike put it into this.
It's in News Boss, Mike. He went on for like a minute about how awesome the game is.
We'll hear all of it. But I'll tell you this, is that, okay, Grant Williams, he's a great guy. He shoots well from three.
A very good role player on this team.
But I mean, if you
replace an NBA player, Fred.
I know he's an NBA player, and I never said he was an NBA player. But on this show, sometimes, a lot of times, people get propped up to be something that they're definitely not. I mean, you could put other guys in Grant Williams' position on this team, and I think they would be effective.
I'm just saying, on this team, he has proven to be a very valuable asset.
Late draft pick that Danny
first round pick. Played.
And again, if you watched him at Tennessee, he was a 6'5" post player.
Yes,
like Barkley.
Yes,
and now he's gotten in shape and hit an outside shot.
He hasn't looked thoroughly out of place guarding a guy like Durant.
I would say a lot of that is the system,
maybe.
And the idea that you can put Marcus Smart and he can kind of handle Kyrie. There's a lot of things. Listen, I'll let Grant Williams have a great. He's doing a great job.
Yes, he is. Played very well in this round. Yes.
Yes.
He's the Batman.
Horford's the story.
That's the thing. But the great thing about Grant Williams is you get something from him that has nothing to do with basketball every third interview. There's the Batman. There's the, what's that card game he likes to play?
Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering, whatever it is. And then there was this whole thing about Uno. I mean, I think it was unprompted.
I'm sure it was. I don't think they said, "Hey, do you play Uno on the plane?"
It's incredible.
But did you see the Bruins put something on Instagram that someone played a joke on Pastrnak that made him think he won the lottery, and in the lottery where he's from, which is like 8 horses, but they're all using these scratch tickets, and everyone's sitting with these like massive piles of chips. I mean, they're gambling constantly on these planes. You guys know it. Everyone listening knows it.
Yes.
And here's Grant Williams playing Uno.
Monopoly.
For no money, by the way. There's no money involved.
Oh, no.
No money.
No, you're playing the love of the game.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Grant Williams is playing for the love of the game. No, you'll never see Grant Williams on one of these broke shows. Grant Williams is going to have his money.
Smart guy.
I think Grant Williams is a very smart guy. But I also think he's a 6'5", non-athletic guy that at a point on this show was being talked about as being a everyday starter on a good NBA team, which I think is foolishness. And, I mean, listen, enjoy the Celtics. Everything they're doing now, there's no downside. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we will play Grant Williams talking all about his Uno experiences.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, ooh, yeah. Ooh, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're actually on the clock. This is amazing.
I give you credit.
Sort of on the clock, but for us, like, very much on the clock.
Yeah, we should be going to break right about now. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then coming back at 45.
Yep.
But I do this, we break at 50, extra long segment for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they want us to do. All right, so Grant Williams is a, say what you will about Grant Williams, but he is a nerd. A massive nerd. And you can tell that the players on the team don't necessarily enjoy it. When asked about the superhero names that he gave them, they all said nothing or just kind of dismissed it. Grant just seems like someone who's bouncing around in the background, like saying nerdy stuff. Meanwhile, Peyton Pritchard's still trying to get over the trauma of his father keeping him home from school.
I'll never forget
that. Do you know the story of Peyton Pritchard?
Have you ever seen this video?
I don't know.
Okay, so the story of Peyton Pritchard is that his father was a college basketball player, and Peyton said, I want to be a basketball player. And so he said, okay. And then we talked to Danny Ainge about this. And starting in middle school, he gave him, like, he homeschooled him and had Peyton do drills until literally his hands bled.
Now, it wasn't as though Peyton was like, no, Dad, I don't want to do this.
No.
Pritchard was on board with a lot of it.
No, I mean, and it worked.
Yeah,
so
got,
he's
made
in
him
the
an NBA.
NBA
player, yeah.
But, I mean, some would say that, is it worth the sacrifice of, I mean, of pulling a kid out of school starting in, like, seventh grade, and then his house, and then the Pritchard house became this, like, sort of athletic village where other kids would come in and be, like, trained throughout the day.
It seems
Chara-like.
You should see some of the dribbling videos of what Peyton was doing at the age of, like, what, 11, 12?
Yeah, and I remember his father was a football player.
Yes.
And then he was going to go to, what, Oklahoma, where his dad played, and then went to Oregon.
I think his father might have gone to Oregon.
His father played at football at Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. At Oklahoma. Okay. Yeah. Well, regardless, he had some connection to Oregon, but his hands literally bleeding. So when you think of the bench depth, you have to feel sorry for Peyton Pritchard in some ways because of his upbringing. And then you have this dork, Grant Williams, who is the opposite of that, who I would imagine had the time of his life. You know, when he was, did he play for what's his face at Tennessee when he was still there?
No, I think he played for Rick Barnes.
Okay, he didn't play for the fun guy that took everyone.
Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, would take everyone.
No, Bruce Pearl's no. Bruce Pearl's at Auburn.
Yeah, I know he's at Auburn now. But all right, so here is Grant Williams talking about his activities.
We were able to go to dinners. We're able to play cards, hang out. We play Uno on flight every flight. Like, that stuff is just like stuff you really, really look to and really say that brings a team together in just terms of continuity, in terms of camaraderie on the court, in terms of chemistry. That's just kind of huge for me.
First of all, you guys play Uno on the flight?
Yeah.
All right. When he says the guys, who is he playing Uno with?
Apparently, I think if we roll this a little further, there are, according to him now, there are 6 or 7 guys to play.
Are any of them starters?
Yes. I think Horford's one of them, and I think Jaylen Brown's another. Tatum does not get mentioned here, but I think Jaylen Brown kind of dabbles.
Because generally these guys are playing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of cards.
There's a big boy table, and then there's a smaller table. And
again, they show this Bruins video, and every time they're on the flight, they have these like racks of chips. They're all gambling like crazy. They're all gambling like mad.
Bruins.
First of all, you guys play Uno on the flight?
Yeah.
Gets pretty competitive. Is anything else involved?
Oh, no. It's literally the first time I feel like an NBA team can say they're doing something with no money involved, right? Play Uno, and let's just say that Matt Ryan is the worst Uno player outside of the fits.
Okay, I am unaware of Matt Ryan.
He is.
So right now,
I can tell you.
You're telling me that it's Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Who probably doesn't have money. Okay, here's what I'm thinking. That the majority of the guys that are playing Uno are guys that don't have any business playing cards with starters in the NBA. Because they would go bankrupt. They would literally lose all their money. All right, Matt Ryan is who?
He is a two-way player.
Okay.
He's one of the two guys signed to a two-way contract.
Play Uno, and let's just say that Matt Ryan is the worst Uno player outside of the group fits. Myself and Al are competitive, but we sit next to one another. So it's either one of us gets one that day, the other does. Same with Tice and then Smart. There's a couple guys, like, we play with like 7 dudes. It's like me, Tice, Smart, Al, Broderick, Malik, even D. White sometimes, Matt, goes down the line. JB, we've had a huge group before. Like, we have these like 6 decks of Uno. Like, it's pretty dope.
All right, Dan in my ear is saying he's mentioning names that he's never heard of as well.
Broderick Thomas.
On the Celtics.
Yes, he wears number 97. He's at the end of the bunch, end of the bench. Malik Fitz is another guy at the end of the bench.
Pretty busy bench at the end there.
So it's every guy that can't afford to
play. They play 8 guys. What do you want from me?
It's every guy that can't can't afford to play cards with the starters.
They mentioned Smart. He mentioned Derek White. He mentioned Al Horford.
Broderick Thomas went to Truman State.
Yes, Truman State.
Yeah, Matt Ryan. I remember him, white guy from Chattanooga.
I did not remember Matt White in college. I know Matt White simply because I have to know Matt White.
Oh yeah, well you have an excuse.
Matt Ryan, sorry.
You have to know. Well, you're saying that Matt Ryan's white. You're combining the two. A little racist. Now, but it is interesting because John has to know all the guys. Do you know all these people?
I only know who Broderick Thomas is because he has an odd number.
All right, and I know White because they made the trade for White and he's been good.
Right.
And he says JB, he throws it in there like JB.
It's
like
a healthy mix of the starters and the bench.
Malik is, by
Malik way. Fitz. Yes.
Who's that?
They signed him, I want to say, a few months ago. Signed him a few months ago, Malik Fitz.
By the way,
just converted his contract. He's gonna be back here next year.
How many Celtics games do you think that you've watched this year?
Probably 60.
The man's watched 60 Celtics games and still does not know who these players are.
Who the hell's Malik Fitz?
This is the dirge. This is the guys that Grant Williams is playing with.
He went to South Florida, which is not really a great basketball bed.
No, it's not a hotbed. It is not. It's not a blue
NBA
blood
player.
School.
NBA player.
It's not a blue blood school.
Malik Fitz.
Well, John, there you go. The chemistry is there.
Yep.
It's from them all. It's from all
the
losers.
They got six decks going, Fred. Six decks.
It's for all the losers playing Uno. I used to play Uno with my kids when we went out to dinner.
Yeah.
I love Uno. I still play. I play with my little nephew.
Yes, you play with your little nephew. Yeah. The idea of Uno is that it's easy to play.
But that's the thing. I mean, I'm with you, Fred. You think of things to do. While after you order the food, you have to figure out how to kill those next 10 or 15 minutes.
I also am terrible because Adam 12 is always waxing philosophical about playing a cribbage. So I actually bought a cribbage set, but I can't figure out how to play that. I have backgammon, which I know people enjoy playing, but I can't figure out how to play that. I'm the only game I really know how to play is Uno.
Mm-hmm.
War. Uno.
Go fish.
A-hole. I know how to play. A-hole.
Gin. You play gin? Play gin rummy?
I know how to play gin.
Yeah.
I played Spit growing up. You ever play that?
No.
Oh, it's going to be a Boston thing, I bet.
I never played.
Spit?
I've heard of it. And I still don't know how to play, though.
We played A-hole as a drinking game.
That was one of the best games ever.
Yes. And my kids, we used to play A-hole with my kids.
You used to play that, too. Yep.
That was like my favorite drinking game by far.
Just back when you were like just so bored with drinking that you were coming up with different ways to get it down your throat.
Because you'd pour whatever you were drinking into a cup and have to drink it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd just have to drink it. It was gross.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what you did. You did a shot of beer, or no? That was the Century Club, where you did a shot of beer every minute. Oh, John, very easy.
Okay.
All right. Back in the day.
And Edward 40 hands, where you would duct tape 40 to your hands.
40, yeah.
Yeah,
we did that.
We had our pledges do it, and then I went, why are they? That looks fun. And so I had to do it. I
drank a lot of 40s in my days. The St. Ives is where it's at.
Well, I'll tell you, that was the only thing I could get my freshman year of college. It was there was one store that would sell to the guy on our floor that was under 21. The only store that would take his ID. And we would get cases of Old E.
God.
That is not supposed to be drank. The vomit that comes up after drinking six OEs is your body rebelling against itself.
I would drink 240. This is when the heyday, but I think we'd drink like 240s in a parking lot and like legitimately be wasted.
Hmm.
Like off two, like 40 ounces. We used to chug them too.
Me and my two roommates used to drink a handle of tequila before we went out.
Good luck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guess who didn't get laid off? The tea. Guess who woke up with the phone in his hand and like a list of girls' numbers half the time?
Fred always got the worm.
Yeah. That's not a good idea if you want to go out and socialize. Now, I'm not saying we did it all the time. But then my friend Tim, because we would get what is it called? Pepe Lopez, the tequila? Pepe Lopez, and it had a picture of Pepe on it. And then my friend Tim would go, Pepe's laughing at me. He's laughing at me. And then he would take the bottle and start chugging it. It's because you don't want Pepe laughing at you.
I understand.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
All right. So there you go. Whatever's working for the Celtics. So you like them. You both like them tonight.
I do. I like them to finish things off tonight.
So I have to bring this up. We'll find out at 9 o'clock this morning.
All right. You guys, hold on. Let's talk about this for just a second, because I listen to the gambling show. I'm usually in the car as well. I'm listening to you guys from 7 to 9 a.m. on Saturday. You were going on and on about how important it was going to be for the refs in Game 3. You would figure the NBA would throw anything they could against the Celtics to make sure they didn't win Game 3. Refs didn't matter at all in Game 3. So why should they matter? If they didn't matter in Game 3 to extend the
but
series,
there was a wrangle.
Why would it matter in Game 4?
The wrangle was right.
It
stayed under the total.
Okay.
That's the whole thing. In all three
games, thought it was against
all
the
three
spread.
Games, whatever
I thought it was against the spread between the two teams.
So the lead official favored the Nets, who were the favorites in the game.
Okay. Second
official favored the Celtics.
I see.
Third official was right down the middle. But
the Toronto series had the wrangle.
Foster extended the game. So the Celtics are the only team to not lose yet in the playoffs. Don't you think it's going to be Foster today to extend the series?
You're the NBA, well, okay, so in the wrangle, is it the lead official doing the league's bidding?
Generally, yes.
Okay, so if I'm the league, do I really want this series to continue?
I don't know. I mean, you get an extra game in Boston.
Kyrie is such a mess.
Like that Boston
more negative
Kyrie
publicity
thing,
than positive.
Yeah.
Live another game. You know, I'm just saying the angle's not a primarily thing to bet on. It's, hey, look at this. Here's the official. Here's the statistics. The stats. But it is 3-0 towards whatever the lead official
so
is.
So because
over,
of this,
spread.
You think Scott Foster is going to be the lead ref for the game tonight?
He is the human extender. Yes.
Okay.
Now,
all right. Well, we find out 9 o'clock? We find out?
Yeah, we'll find out 9. The only thing on Saturday we were adamant about it was Foster was in New York for a ref thing.
How did you know that? See, that's the amazing part, the information you come up with on the show.
But they sent him to Toronto.
How do you know he was in New York?
There was a thing that mentioned that there was...
flight logs.
There was a ref.
How does he find this
a
stuff?
A ref meeting in New York or something. There was something.
How do you? I mean, do you have the bracelet around his ankle? How do you know he was there?
I don't know what they call it, but it was there.
Okay, but that's your theory. He is the human extender. He will be, if what you say is right, he should be the lead official. For tonight's Celtics Brooklyn game.
If he's not, whatever the ref angle is, we'll give you the stats, and you can go run with it or not. But right now, it's 3-0.
And so you would look for the under in the game?
Well, it depends on what the official is. The first game, it was 225. When Wazarba had 30 fouls in the first half. He's a guy who fouls a ton, which led to it. Second game, led over to the under, it hit. So every game's gone under, well, besides the first one. So... I mean, I just don't think the Nets are going to show up tonight. That's my only thing.
As I said before, it depends on the first half. If the Celtics are up, whatever it is, 10-15, then Kyrie quits and the game's over.
Kyrie quits because Kyrie knows that he can't win four games in a row.
And he also knows that he has to come back to Boston,
and
where the fans have crawled inside his head and pulled up a chair.
He knows they can't win four in a row. He's not trying tonight. Now, he's so good, like, if he gets loose and just starts, like, hitting everything, then I take it back. But if it's a normal night for him...
He did that in Game 1, and they still lost.
Yeah. By the way, someone said if you follow Jason Tatum on Instagram, him and Grant are, like, best friends. Wouldn't you, for, like, your family's sake, put you and Grant Williams together in every picture if you were on the Celtics?
That's right.
Like, if you wanted, like, public opinion like people, like, the paparazzi to stay away, wouldn't you always be with Grant Williams?
You send a picture to your wife. See, stayed in tonight.
Yeah, like, for instance, like, if I went out of town, like, don't you have, like, a friend that your wife would be, like, because now, I can't believe I'm saying these things, because now I'm, like, living a sitcom. But, like, forever, I would be like, what would a loser listen to his wife? But isn't there, if you went out of town, like, a friend that your wife would be, like, way more comfortable with you going with than anyone else?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grant Williams
that
is that guy.
Yeah.
So Jason Tatum is very smart. I don't believe for a second they're friends. But I'll tell you this, is that I believe he's putting pictures of them out. All right. Something that a lot of people sent me that is hellacious and it should be illegal. For many reasons, occurred recently, and I finally can get on the air and discuss it. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.